Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarlane. You know, I'm repping the Triple B merch today. Had to for my boy Jello and Mello. You know, I'll leave Zoe out right now. He's not playing too well. Before we dive into today's podcast, where we have sports trivia, we're going to talk about our favorite burger joint in Iowa City, as well as lots of sports to dive into. First, I just want to quickly bring up Good Pods. Obviously, with the semester starting up and in the winter weather, you have limited places to go, minimum things to do. Might as well download Good Pods. Follow us on there at Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack at Jack McFarlane. Listen to our podcast. Find a few others. We love recommendations. So if you find an interesting podcast, we'd love to hear about it. And go download Good Pods now and keep us updated on there. So to start this off, Jack, today's January 20th. We have a new president inaugurated today. Right now we have one podcast and two presidents in. I want to see how many presidents we can go through before we're done with this thing.
Yeah. I mean, we have the possibility. I mean, who knows if Joe even survives the whole thing. I mean, and then we'll have Kamala, and then if we'll have her, and then I don't know if she'll get reelected. So then we'll probably have another. So, I mean, we could have like four or five in the matter of a couple of years. Like we could be looking at a lot of turnover here. This could be something we could put in our Twitter bio, something we could hang our hat on.
True. And now we obviously had the inauguration this week, but another big thing happening this weekend, which I think is even more important to the majority of our friends and a lot of other Americans, is NFL championship week. Got the AFC with the Chiefs and the Bills, and the NFC with the Packers and Tampa Bay. So let's hear the predictions on your part. What do you want to start off with?
I don't think we'd be smart if we didn't start off by talking about Pat and how Mahomes is hurt, the whole concussion protocol right now.
His light practice.
It would be hard for me not to think this would be the Bills' best shot to beat the Chiefs. And yeah. I stand by that. I think this is the Bills' game to win. The Chiefs, I don't know if they can slow him down. Like I surely do not believe it. I really think this is the Bills' game to win. I do.
I agree with you. I think with the Bills, I mean, everything's lined up perfectly right now for them. I mean, now my one thing is with the Chiefs, I can't hate on Chad. For me, watched him with the Dolphins, always bought into Chad, love seeing Chad still in the league, and he only uses LinkedIn, so I really respect that even more about him. But with that being said, if Pat's out, like, here's the thing, too. He had a light practice today. They're probably going to push him to play. He's probably going to try to play. But as you know, we've both had concussions. When you have a concussion, like, it's not going to take a week to fully get over that. Whether, you know, he could have light sensitivity, he could have, you know, dizziness, whatever it is, like, he can line up in that pocket and be completely discombobulated, like, not know what's going on. Like, there could be so many things where it's not that easy to play through if he got a really bad one, which, I mean, they kept him out the rest of the game and he couldn't go back in. So I'm interested to see what happens. But if Pat Mahomes is still, you know, struggling to get back on the field, I think the Bills win it. But with that being said, they're the Bills. And they've made Super Bowls before. And we all know what's happened there. So can they really make the push where if they win this championship, they're winning the Super Bowl? That's my question to you. I think if the Chiefs are in it, there's a real shot that they could win the chip. With the Bills, I give it to the NFC automatically just with their history.
I think we would have to say that because you would have to play Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Two tough guys to beat.
TR12 and TB12.
So, I don't know. I think Josh Allen's got everything. I think he's got his best offense that he'll have in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think once Dable leaves, he won't be as good. I really think this is Josh Allen's best shot. So I'm going to stick on that. Like, this is the Bills year, but Aaron Rodgers is looking damn good. Like, damn good. So
And that's painful to say.
I can't rule out Aaron Rodgers. I really think he's going to beat Tom Brady. I don't know if there's like, there really just doesn't seem like any way that anyone stops the Packers offense right now. At least they're a well-oiled machine. Tampa lost to the Bears. Like that's, I'll always say that. And the fact is the Packers were never close to losing, period. So what does that say about the teams?
But also think about how Tom lost to the Saints 2 times in a row, finally pulled through. So some of their weak points in the season.
I'll say to counter that, when you have Drew Brees, and for the past 2 years, he has been slightly washed. The guy can't push the ball downfield. When you like completely eliminate the fact that you can't push the ball downfield, you look at what happened to the Bears against the Saints. The only big play that they had was Wims. And he dropped it. And no, in actuality, the drop. Like,
yeah, I know the drop. That's what I've called it.
You drop that, and it's like that's your only deep shot. You really don't have any other chance of making a big play. And that's what the Saints didn't have. Tampa, they're a walking big play. And
yeah,
the Packers could go blow for blow, I think. I think they could. I don't know. Seriously, like I don't think there's anyone that could beat the Packers offensively other than the Bills. Sure, the Chiefs. Like, the Chiefs are nasty. But the Chiefs have proven to be mortal, I would say. Mortal.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously with the Chiefs looking mortal, that has to do with Pat Mahomes solely. If Pat Mahomes was on fire and that game was a blowout, I mean, we wouldn't even be asking any type of question about the Chiefs. I mean, my dream scenario right now, especially because I hate the Packers, is I want to see Bucks Chiefs, just because I'd love to see the current GOAT with the up and coming, you know, GOAT. Once Brady retires, he is the guy, he is the face of the league. So I think that matchup storyline wise would be unreal. I think those offenses going up against each other would be unreal. I think some of the defensive guys on the Bucks getting a shot at the Super Bowl, like Levante David, Ndamukong Suh, all those guys, I think it would be so fun to watch. But I think the Bills make it. And the Packers are so dynamic, and obviously they have the home field advantage with Lambeau, but there's just something in my gut. I can't count out TB12. I can't. And I'm bought in right now. I'm on the Tampa Bay train right now. I have to admit, like, it's been entertaining to watch. Like, actually, like, I've grown up around Tampa Bay fans, and they just have always been the, like, glumest, like, saddest, like, people, because they just know their place. And they are like, you know what? Like, there are other fan bases where when they get good, they get super annoying about their team winning. Like Miami Heat fans during the LeBron era. Oh my God, I wanted to murder those people. Like, I hated them. But you know what? Tampa fans really haven't been bad. Like, the true fans, like, you know, show their pride. But there haven't been like a lot of bandwagoners, like how the Chiefs are actually kind of becoming. So part of me kind of wants to root for that Tampa Bay team still, because I think, like, there's momentum there, and I just don't want to see Rodgers get another. I love that we can knock him down and say he only got one. So, like, I'm taking Tampa and Bills, I think, is going to be the matchup, but I want Tampa Chiefs.
I think if we take a step back, this Tampa team reminds a lot of people of the Denver Bronco teams with Peyton Manning, but Tom Brady is way better than Peyton Manning was, and that Tampa D isn't as, like, historically relevant as
Which Bronco one are you talking about? Are you talking about the one they won or the one they lost against Seattle? Because the one they lost, Peyton led the league in touchdowns that year.
The next one. Because
okay, so the last one.
Because I don't think Tom's as washed as Peyton wound up being. Like, Peyton.
No, but Tom doesn't get touched.
No, and Peyton didn't really get touched either. Like, they had a final line. It was Peyton's arm was just an absolute noodle. Yeah, like, the guy couldn't throw anything. And Tom, like, people were criticizing Tom for not being able to throw the ball deep. And that's what Tom's been doing this year. Like, he's been airing it the fuck out.
I know. And
you haven't really seen that, because you had McDaniels running these, like, spread out offenses, which, fine, like, Tom likes it. But Bruce is like, look, man, this is what the fuck we're running. And if you don't like it, get out. Like, period. And
but Tom's also running keep in mind, in New England, what weapons did they have that he could really air it out with?
Wes Welker?
No, but I'm talking about after that.
I'm kidding. Like, Randy? Like
yeah. Josh Gordon. Randy for 2 good years.
Josh Gordon, Danny Amendola.
Josh Gordon barely
Matthew
played.
Slater. Hold on, I'll get there. Mohamed
Dorsett
for a year. Philip Dorsett, he was pretty good.
Braxton Berrios or whatever his name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Braxton was there for Braxton, a little. Yeah. And then they have that new guy, the new punt returner, Gunnar Olszewski or some
shit. Oh, yeah.
I think he was all pro this year for being a punt returner. We chirp him. He's sick. But, yeah, I mean, I really think that Tom, like, he didn't want to have to do everything on this team. Like, yeah. That's why he chose Tampa. And I don't think he is. And that's the nice thing is he has like a great defense that can make plays. Like they made plays against Drew when they needed to. Great. Yeah. But like Tom is playing at such an efficient rate right now offensively, like this past back half of the year, that you can't sit there and say like, oh, he still doesn't have a shot. Like, fuck yeah, he does. It's Tom Brady and he has the three best wide receivers in the NFC minus Davante Adams still on his team. That's pretty good odds. And Gronk looks damn good right now. Gronk looks
like because they're using him when they need him, which is how they should be.
He also looks way in football shape. Gronk looks like he's warmed up now. Like week one, two, all those people that drafted Gronk felt like shit. Yeah. But then you look at like week 12 through like now, Gronk's been a totally different player. The guy's actually going up, making plays, barreling people over with some good blocks. Like Gronk looks like Gronk. Now, I do have the take that Gronk will walk with Tom when they both want to retire.
No,
they'll
I
retire
agree.
Together. But
I think that's next year.
Does Gronk have a 1 year?
He has a 1 year, but he's talked about how if Tom's coming back, I'm coming back.
I think Tom's already on a two. So
he's on a 2 year. Yeah, that's why I think it's either gonna be my prediction.
I don't
for
think
Tom,
they're gonna win this year then. See, that's the thing. In my head, I already know that they're not gonna win. It's gonna be Aaron Rodgers' year, and then Tom's will be next year. And Aaron will be walking away from the Packers after Tom leaves. Aaron will go wherever. Tom will walk into the sunset, and then Aaron will have one last go to pick a contender. Hopefully it's like maybe Chicago. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be such fun.
and then he walks out of the sunset and he's like the last quarterback to leave because Big Ben's gone. We'll get into it next. We'll get into Big Ben's done, dude. He's so bad. Like he should just
quit. I know, but he's coming back one more year though. He already announced it.
The guy's done. And then Philip Rivers, like we'll get into him. Who else? Drew Brees done. Tom Brady is about to be done.
That's it.
Like we're getting to the end. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of the last ones.
But the two things I want to say with that though is, okay, if Tom loses it this year, so be it. He comes back next year. I think he either retires at 45 or I think he plays till 46 just to prove to people that he could play past 45. Because he's never said 45 is where he caps it.
That'd be the most.
And I think that's what he's going to do. Now, the other thing is I don't usually push for storylines, but with football this year, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things to push for because there have been so many. I think it would be so fun for the Bill versus Tom argument if Tom won one alone.
Oh, that's what everyone's rooting for right now.
Because before, like when Tom left, everybody said it was Bill. Everybody said Bill made the Patriots, like hands down, no question. But the one thing I give in that argument, though, and this is where it makes it hard for me, is look at who surrounds Tom Brady. You have a Pro Bowler, Mike Evans. You have a pro, like Antonio Brown's one of the greatest receivers who ever played the game, like of his era. Like nobody can deny that. And let's be real, people said because of how they see AB playing this year that he's slowed down. My opinion, AB hasn't gotten worse. And that's only because of the fact that they don't need him to be a true number one where he's catching 10, 12 balls a game, getting 200, 100 yards, whatever, you know, two touchdowns a game like what he was doing in Pittsburgh because they have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin who are younger. Like they can use AB, you know, just play him to his strengths. So I'm like AB is so undervalued on that team because when they need AB to do a big play, he does it. Like that's one thing that's been great to watch. But you have Chris Godwin, you have OJ Howard, Cameron Bray, like other great guys. Like to me, they remind me of a basketball team of like how you can just call 1 through 12. Like one team I related to actually is one of the Miami Heat teams, like the 2012-2013 Miami Heat team where they had Ray Allen come off the bench. They had Juwan Howard. They had all these guys who were just pros who could just step in, give you a play or two when you need it and keep the ball moving. That's what Tom has. I mean, running back wise, Ronald Jones, Fournette, like you name it. So it's just like, to me, I wonder if Tom had a little less talent, what it would look like. Just because he's so loaded on talent, I think it does help him look a little bit better than what he might be. But also, if you look at him that last year in New England, I mean, they almost went on an undefeated run at one point, it looked like, because of the fact that he, like, the defense was so good. But also, too, he made literally awful players look like they were good. Like, it was unreal. So it's hard to really, like, tell where Tom's at for me. But I can't count him out right now. You know what? Especially he played in New England 20 years. It's not Lambeau, but he's been a cold weather guy. Gronk's a cold weather guy. Like, there are other guys who have been there before, you know, AB, whatever. I think that they, if they're the one team that has a shot. So who's your Super Bowl then? Do you have Green Bay Bills? What's your score predictions for the championship games?
So I don't even know, man. I haven't looked at like any of the spreads or like what people are saying. Like, so let me think about it. So Bills Chiefs, I realistically think Pat's going to play, and then Bills will, they'll put up like, I'll call it 24, maybe, shit. Now when I say that, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I don't know, man. I really don't know. I just think the Bills pull it out somehow. The Chiefs, they've been starting slow a lot lately, and they've been playing a lot of hero ball. You can only rely on that so much in the playoffs. The Bills, they've just looked like a well-oiled machine. Like, they don't sit back there and say, oh, we have Josh Allen who could just throw it up, make a miracle like Mahomes. Like, no, they've looked like the best team in the NFL for a reason, outside of the Packers. So, I don't know a score. I really don't for that game.
My Bills Chiefs score prediction, 28-24.
So Bills. My Packer game, I think the Packers beat them by two scores, but I think it's a little closer down the stretch. I think the Packers get close to putting up 40, and then the Bucks put up maybe, I don't know. Dude, the Bucks got absolutely exposed by the Chiefs earlier in the year, and it's a really bad game. And if Aaron Rodgers and them can take advantage of what they saw, it's going to be another bad game. Like, they have the weapons to expose the Green Bay Packers, or the Bucks, I mean, rather. Like, they can. So I don't think it's impossible for them to put up 40. Like, I really don't think it is.
I'll say 34-31 Bucks.
No, I think
that's my take.
Mine's gonna be 40. Dude, it's gonna be like 40. It's gonna be around 40 to like
20, I think Tom
28 or 31.
Tom leads them on one great drive down Lambeau after Aaron Rodgers scores a last minute touchdown, and Tom closes it with a field goal.
One person that couldn't close it this year was Philip Rivers. Obviously, he just hung it up.
Yeah,
maybe he gets a new day job other than pushing out kids and pushing balls down.
Well, he already has a new day job.
Isn't he a coach?
He signed last year. Yeah, he signed last year to be the head coach of the high school team.
Yeah, well, I don't think he has any time to keep, you know, doing his thing in the bedroom because he's becoming a high school football coach. So Phil better wrap it up before he puts it away, or he should just hang that up altogether. That's my
take.
Yeah. Phil's got enough on his hands. He's got like a dozen kids. You got your own team right now, Phil. Just let it go.
Yeah, well, okay. So storyline-wise, Twitter-wise, I love that he retired with 17 seasons. I think that was kind of a cool way to do it. Like, Philip Rivers is one of those guys where he's not going to be that guy that gets a lot of honors when he retires in the NFL. Like, there's not much to praise him for just because of his lack of, like, championships or real playoff success. So I think that was a fun way for a lot of people to, like, you know, congratulate him and say 17 for 17, all that good stuff. But my question for you is he a Hall of Famer, or is he in the Hall of Very Good?
No, he's very good. Phil's not Hall of Fame worthy. That guy, he didn't do anything Hall of Fame worthy. He was Hall of Fame at blowing games. I'll say that. Like, the guy didn't do much.
Okay,
I think he played a lot. And with that, you get a lot of snaps. You get a lot of yards. He played with a lot of great players. Hell, I mean, he was on a team in San Diego number one offense, number one defense, and then they had the number 32 ranked special teams. Like, he can't help that. That's, he can only do so much. He tore his ACL and played in the playoff game. That's awesome. Like, he had a couple great years. I don't see how you could riddle him to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, the guys, he never did anything in the playoffs. I don't know. That's, to me, okay. I don't see how he can do it.
So, wait, I'm just fact-checking myself here. So, if you have anything else to say for a quick second, feel free. Because
I think Philip Rivers has one of the worst throwing motions in the, okay. in the NFL. I got it. Okay. Because it's because he has small hands. That's why. And he has to, like, whip it. But he looks like an absolute dingbat when he throws the ball. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and take a YouTube and, like, go look. I swear to God, he has the worst throwing motion. It looks like it hurts. It literally – and he grunts every time he throws, probably for a reason, probably because it hurts.
Okay, so I've had this debate all day with myself. Is he or is he not a Hall of Famer? My first thought was Hall of Very Good, but here's where I disagree. There have been quarterbacks to make the Hall of Fame that haven't won a chip. And keep in mind, he's the fifth all-time in passing yards, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe it was just active all-time, but I thought it was fifth all-time. And fifth all-time in touchdown passes. You can check me on that. But one guy that came to mind to me who's a Hall of Famer is Fran Tarkenton, who was the Minnesota Vikings quarterback for years and years and years. So Philip Rivers is an 8-time Pro Bowler. Fran Tarkenton's a 9-time Pro Bowler.
I don't want the Pro Bowls. Throw those out.
Okay. So then Philip Rivers led the league 1 year in completion percentage, 1 year in passing yards, 1 year as the touchdowns leader, 1 year as passer rating. And so Fran, he won an MVP. So that does give him a little bit of an edge in offensive player of the year. And he got an all pro on him, but he also only had 1 year as all-time passing yards leader and 1 year as touchdown passing yards leader. So that was a comparison. Another guy. Now these two are a lot better than Philip Rivers, but I think they're a little comparable with Dan Marino and Jim Kelly. Now, Jim Kelly led his team to Super Bowls, so I'll give him that. And Dan Marino obviously lit it up, you know, MVP, all that stuff. But they both didn't win. They didn't win chips. And keep in mind, too, I think Philip Rivers has more yards than both of them.
Well, how many years did the others play? I mean, that's
– okay, here. Dan Marino played from 80. He played from 83 to 99.
Okay.
And Philip Rivers played from 04 to 20. So he played 17 years. And then Fran Tarkenton played from 61 to 78.
The only thing I will bounce.
So he played 17. He played 17 years.
The only thing I'll bounce back on that Fran Tarkenton comparison is, like, he was one of, like, the first dual threat quarterbacks. And Phil straight up refused to even do a QB sneak. So in my brain, the fact that, like, he refused to do a QB sneak, I hate that. I hate that already. I don't care if you, like, care about your damn injury. Like, there's some plays where I just don't like that.
Jim Kelly, I just want to tell you this real quick. Jim Kelly led the league in passing touchdowns once and passer rating once and completion percentage once. He had 5 Pro Bowls and was an All-Pro once, second team All-Pro twice. But the only thing that really got him there was because he led his team to 4 Super Bowls and lost them. But still, he has no rings and has basically the same accolades as Philip Rivers, but he has 9 Pro Bowl or 8 Pro Bowls. And he was the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. That's another thing he got. And another thing that he did that was tough was in his 07 AFC Championship, he tore his ACL and played on it.
Yeah, I mean,
against New England, against the undefeated New England Patriots, who cheated their way to the Super Bowl. But,
like, I think he's really good. Like, I won't get it twisted, but I don't, in my heart of hearts, like. He won Comeback Player of the Year twice. I don't know what else he's done. Like, he didn't.
Okay, so I'm pulling up passing yards.
I personally, like, I'm looking. He's led the league in passing yards
once. Yeah, he's fifth all-time in passing yards.
Yeah.
So he's ahead of Dan Marino.
He's played 244 games. Like, he's played a lot of games.
So he's ahead of Fran Tarkenton.
In a pass-heavy league. Like, these are all things that you need to take into account at this point.
He's ahead of Fran Tarkenton. He's ahead of all my comparisons. Because, he's behind Brett Favre, Manning, Tom Brady, and Breeze.
He's 40 years ahead of those comparisons, but, and he's okay. And he's not one of those greats. Like, he's okay. Not that.
Here's my other argument. Name the top six quarterbacks of his generation. You have Roethlisberger, Peyton. Okay, now, here's the other set I'm going to throw before I go into that. How many AFC championship or how many like AFC teams besides Brady, Peyton, and Roethlisberger teams that won a Super Bowl in the span Rivers was a quarterback? Do you know?
Other than who? Was it Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger?
No, not Breeze. AFC teams I'm talking AFC. About. AFC.
Brady, so, Roethlisberger, Sperger, and Peyton?
Yeah.
How many other AFC?
AFC teams made it to the Super Bowl besides teams led by them. Two teams. They were the Ravens and they were the Chiefs with Pat Mahomes last year. So think about that. You have Peyton, you have Brady and Roethlisberger owning your conference. Okay. And think about the teams they had around them too, like over the years. So factor that in. You have Breeze as another great. So that's like four: Roethlisberger, Brady, Manning, him. Who would be the fifth? I wouldn't count Eli Manning as the fifth best quarterback in that generation.
Manning beat Tom Brady or twice. Sixth.
It would be Rodgers. It would be Rodgers. And then I'd say Rivers. And then there's Eli Manning. Then there's a drop off with everybody else. Is that not fair to say? Does Rivers have the talent that they have or in that league? Is he in that league?
I never thought so. He doesn't do it for me. He just doesn't. Like, okay. I don't.
So
I'm going to, you just said Eli Manning.
I'm going to tell you,
I want to look so at I'm Eli gonna tell Manning's you some stats. Names.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you some names after Eli Manning and Rodgers on the passing yards list, even though he's ahead of him. Matt Ryan's ninth all time. Okay. Then you have Matthew Stafford at 16. You have Joe Flacco at 19. We're not putting Joe Flacco in this conversation. Alex Smith is like the other like active player, and Russell Wilson 35. But Russell Wilson wasn't in that era. So would you say that Rivers is Matt Ryan status, or would you say he's Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, those guys? Because no, I was
Roethlisberger's won two Super Bowls. Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. Like they found a way and they got it done. They like yes, they.
So you're saying Super Bowls? If they don't win a Super Bowl, they can't be a Hall of Famer. Even though there are people in the Hall of Fame with no Super Bowl rings.
No, but I think when we're making that comparison,
Phil Rivers, fifth all time in passing yards.
Great. He's played 250 games and he's been on some of the best offenses in San Diego. He's had great players around him. He had LT, who had a remarkable year. When you have LT running the ball, it makes a lot easier to be able to throw the ball when people 07 are like, holy
fuck. 07 in the one AFC championship, he couldn't even run the ball. He was sitting on the bench most of the game.
Look. Like,
on sideline.
That's 1 year. Then why can't Phil push the ball through the air to Vincent Jackson and get it done? Like, I don't remember in my brain ever thinking Philip Rivers is going to be a Hall of Famer because the guy just was really good at a lot of things. Like, Matthew Stafford will not be a Hall of Famer, period. Like, he won't. Unless he goes somewhere and wins a Super Bowl, Matthew Stafford won't be a Hall of Famer. He will not be. It's just you can't like give out. I don't know, man. Like Phil Rivers, I look at his
Matthew
Diego
Stafford
teams.
Is one Pro Bowl, one Pro Bowl.
I don't care about Pro Bowls. I do not carry any weight with Pro Bowls.
He has no accolades besides that.
It is all Pro. I don't think Stafford makes it. I don't think he does.
Yeah, he shouldn't be. So Stafford shouldn't be.
Philip Rivers
and
was
he
a,
didn't
was
even
a quarterback.
Lead a team to a playoffs.
Philip Rivers was a quarterback on a 14-2, 11-5, 8-8, 13-3, 9-7, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12, 5-11, 9-7. Like, dude, that's fucking average. I'm not gonna sit here and say he's a Hall of Famer. I can't do
that. You know what? Then who would you say would you rather see in the Hall of Fame, Rivers or Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan has an MVP Offensive Player of the Year under his belt, led the league in passer rating, is a first-team All-Pro once, and four-time Pro Bowler.
That sounds a little better. Like, there's nothing – I could sit here and say Philip Rivers played a long time and didn't make the Hall of Fame, and I would nod my head and say, yes, I agree. That makes sense. Because he just – to me, he just doesn't, he doesn't do it. Like, I look at Matt Ryan right now, and the guy, he's got it. The guy's good. He's been
Here's
a good
what I'll
quarterback.
Say. Here's what I say. I think he's just literally sitting on the gray line. That's kind of, for me,
and,
where it's
and,
at.
And then you
I
can't,
lean
you,
towards Hall of Famer.
But you can't but put him in when he's on that gray line, because then it's like, shit, we got to
fair point.
We got to put in other guys. And then you're like, shit, well, now we got to put in other guys. That's why it's so hard to make it. And that's why you see, like, who is someone in the last 5 years that was, like, whining about not being in the Hall of Fame? Who?
T.O.
T.O. made it. T.O. damn deserved to be in the Hall
of
Fame.
Well, yeah, he was second all-time receiving.
Exactly. Yards. Like, that's the level of echelon I think you got to be in order to moan about being in the Hall of Fame. Phil, the guy played, like we said, 17 seasons. He played 250 games. That's a lot of football. Guy threw 421 touchdowns, but he also threw 210 interceptions.
Okay, so I want to go through then
That's
quickly.
A lot.
So I want to go through the 15 modern era player finalists for the Hall of Fame this year with you real quick, going off schedule a bit. So there's Jared Allen, Rondé Barber, Tony Boselli, Leroy Butler. My page just refreshed by accident. Calvin Johnson, Peyton Manning, Clay Matthews Jr., Charles Woodson, Torrey Holt, John Lynch, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Zach Thomas, Reggie Wayne. Who do you take from that list?
Hold on. What was the list? Is it the finalists for this year?
Yeah, the Hall 15 final, the 15 modern era finalists.
Modern.
Era. Here we go. I'll give you the link.
No, I got it. All right, so I would take, let's just say I can take five. I would take.
I'll give you five.
I take Rondé Barber. I would take Peyton Manning. I would take Charles Woodson. I would take. You can't take if you take Reggie Wayne. I don't know. Is Marvin Harrison a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have to make Reggie Wayne one. I think Jared Allen's 100% Hall of Famer. And I also think Torrey Holt, I don't think he is. Megatron didn't play long enough. John Lynch probably will be because he's a GM. So, but Seymour doesn't have any business. Thomas didn't play long enough. Mills, I don't know. I personally don't know much about him. Clay Matthews, I mean, I saw Clay Matthews the third wants him to be. I don't think he makes it.
That's the older Clay Matthews.
Yeah, I know. And like his son, like was tweeting about him, and I don't think he'll make it. I think Alan Faneca will make it. Boselli might make it in the future. He was that good. Butler, I don't know much about.
So what's your five? What's your five?
Jared Allen, Rondé Barber, Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Charles Woodson.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay.
High five.
So wait, Jared Allen, four-time first-team All-Pro, two-time sacks leader. That's a good pick. So that was one of the guys I would take. So I would take Jared Allen. I would take Zach Thomas because Zach Thomas was unreal, and I'll tell you his stats to support that up. I won't even count the Pro Bowls, even though he's a seven-time Pro Bowler. He's a five-time first-team All-Pro, second-team All-Pro twice, and he also was AFC Defensive Rookie of the Year.
He was named on the
All-Decade Team, 2000s All-Decade Team.
He's going to get hurt by that Patrick Willis thing. Like, Patrick Willis isn't going to be able to play long enough to make it in the Hall of Fame, I don't think. Like, that's just...
I think Zach Thomas gets it because he was on a bunch of bad teams.
I mean, we'll see, but I think he's still going to fall at that Patrick Willis, Calvin Johnson thing. They just did not play like long enough, and that's no fault to them. It's just
so matter going of fact. To number three, I take Charles Woodson. I think he's for sure first ballot. Then Peyton, of course. And then my fifth, this is where I have a tough time because I feel like storyline-wise, they want to get Reggie Wayne in there with Peyton. So then it's like, oh, you know, they can do like a final pass, all that stuff. But the thing is, you talk about the short, like not having enough years and stuff. I think Calvin Johnson gets in. I think that's my fifth if I had to pick only five. Rondae Barber and Reggie Wayne would be like my like right there other picks. But yeah, that would be mine. Because like with Calvin Johnson, 6-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first team All Pro, 2nd team All Pro in 2010, 2010's All Decades team, led the NFL in receiving yards 2 years in a row, NFL receptions leader, NFL touchdowns co-leader, and All Rookie team. And that was his accolades. And he has a few NFL records. And he had 11,000 receiving yards, 83 touchdowns, and he was on all losing teams. And he did that.
Yeah, I mean, if we make an argument for Calvin Johnson, you make one for Torrey Holton. I mean, it just continues the debate. I don't know where it ends. That's why we're not on the committee.
True. So, you ready to switch over?
Yeah.
Baseball? Okay, so I just got to bring up the Chicago Cubs, defend us a little bit, but also rant a little bit. So, we lost Theo, which was very tough. I grieved it a little bit. It took me some time. I mean, Theo, the greatest GM of all time that's ever been pro baseball, and that's counting the Yankee team. Anything. Theo Epstein is the greatest GM of all time, and he will be the future commissioner of Major League Baseball in a year or two. Mark my words, because Theo wants to make the game faster. You know, there's Rob Manfred. I don't know if you saw this, but ESPN's trying to get out of their deal with Major League Baseball to take on less games. And they're trying to like shorten the contract in time and in money, because baseball is just bringing no value to them right now. And just so many people are losing less and less interest. I think if Theo was commissioner, he brings the speed of the game back. He talks about how baseball has gotten really boring and how it has to be more fun. I think he does that. That being said, I have hope in Jed. In Jed we trust. But there are a few things that he did here. Okay, so I'll admit we're in a rebuilding phase for this next season. I still think we'll do better than the Sox, but that's just me. But the thing is, you look at John Lester and you look at what he did for the team in terms of he was that signing that changed the entire culture of the franchise, where we got him and it was like, oh, we're contending now. Like, we're going to be a bad team in the years to come, which we were. I mean, we won 2016. I mean, greatest World Series win of all time. But all you had to do, John Lester is saying, I want to be back in Chicago. I want to end my career here. Give me one more year. And you barely give him an offer. Come on. Like, you barely give him an offer. Now, my guy, Davey Martinez, who I love, is now inheriting John Lester. He's going to get a comeback year from Kyle Schwarber, like a comeback year. Like, they paid him $10 million, and he's going to make it. He's going to give him like a $20 million season. He's going to be amazing. He's going to hit like 40 home runs. But that's just, you know, that's just a start. We let Schwarber go, which I thought we were going to release him and then, you know, get him for a cheaper deal, to be honest. So good for him for getting a payday in Washington. And then we lose Quintana, which I'm not a big Quintana guy, but it's just after what we gave up. I mean, injury prone Aloy and a few other players. Please. Like, at least sign him for another year to make it look like it wasn't that bad of a deal. And now what's our pitching look like? It looks like nothing. There are talks we're going to bring Jake Arrieta back, who's absolutely washed. Like, people talked about when we first signed him before the Cy Young and everything, and how he was a wash player. And obviously he did all the, you know, crazy CrossFit training and stuff, and he became a great player for a few year stretch. He's much older now. He's not going to be anything. Like, we are in a period right now where everybody thought we were going to trade Chris Bryant. I don't think we're doing it anymore. I think we're going to pay him, actually, based off the looks of it. And it's just, to me, we're now making bad investments. Obviously, the international signing we had, Hernandez, I think he's going to be amazing. Everybody's hyping him up like Gleyber Torres was to us when he was first coming up. So I'm excited about that. But it's like, we have Baez in his prime. We like Contreras. Like, we had some of the pieces right there. And we're just letting it all go because the Ricketts are being cheap again and we're becoming the lovable losers all over again.
That sucks, man. It must really suck to be a Cubs fan.
It sucks. But the thing that would suck even worse is when you think you have a chance at a World Series and you're never going to witness this Sox team make it.
I mean,
did you see the Royals just signed Wade Davis to a minor league deal? So Wade Davis is going to come back, have one more final great season in that division against you guys.
Yeah, the Sox are, I mean, people say the Sox are, oh, maybe they're one bat away, and it's scary to say that they're one bat away when they were that good already last year. So I don't have any complaints right now. I'm sitting pretty. We've made some great moves.
Until your manager gets another DUI and drives himself into a concrete block on the highway or something.
No comment. I don't endorse that. I didn't want La Russa, but I accept him.
The Cubs fans, all I have to say, this is my inner therapist to me. I feel your pain. I get it. If you need support, please comment. Comment on our IG. Comment on our Twitter. You know, send us ideas of who you think the Cubs should sign, what they should do. In Jed, we trust. We trust
the process. They should just relocate. They fucking suck. They're the worst team in Chicago right now. And they might be worse than the Blackhawks. I'd say it a lot.
We'll see.
They might be sick.
I can't agree to that. I can't agree to Blackhawks.
They literally have Baez and Bryant and Contreras. Like, the Hawks have Kane, Taze, Keith. Like, it's just get rid of them. Hayward's Seabrook. Like, you got a big contract. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've held on your chips for so long. Like, let's just
and it's
move
just
on.
Painful to watch to see, like, Kaner and Tate, like, go out in their final years. Like, it was so cool that, like, they had a rebuild of all these young guys coming in with that core right there. Just, like, you know, Seabrook and those guys are in late 30s now, or mid to late. But, like, Jonathan
it's like what, it's,
and
it's what the Cubs
are
doing
early
right now.
30s.
Yeah, it's what the Cubs are.
It's painful to watch. And it's just like, now the Blackhawks just re-signed the head coach to another 2-year extension. And it's just like, oh,
that's,
it's like,
I think that's so he is
trying to build the culture.
No, he's lined up. His contract, I think, expires when Kane, Taze, mm-hmm. Keith, Seabrooks in 23. So we're either in for the dark times in 2023, or we're going to have something in line. So
the thing I just don't want to see is a Boylan era and the
Blackhawks. We'll see. I think hockey's different because the coach can't really be as hands-on as Boylan was. Boylan literally would stop the game and people would say, what the fuck are you doing?
And Colleton being in all of them looking away.
Like, Colleton can't do that. He's had success as a coach. I'm optimistic for the guy. Like, he's really not had great rosters. The Hawks do not commit to rebuilding, being competitive or what. They don't
even have a solid goalie yet.
I like Delia, and I've always been a fan of Delia, so I think he gets the starting nod. I hope they get rid of Subban. That guy stinks butt.
Yeah. No, but to me, it's like having a quarterback. You can't have two or three quarterbacks on your team. You need one goalie.
Yeah, you need one, and they've been, like, rotating through them and seeing who's the guy, and they're 0-3-1. Like, they're just not it. Like, I don't – could we change the topic? Like, they suck, dude.
So, let's jump into our trivia. I'll go – so, I have two, and they're both – actually, United Center teams are both Bulls. They're both Bulls questions this week. So my first question for you is, who is the Bulls leader in most three-pointers made with 1,049?
Okay. Can I ask one question?
Depends what it is.
Was I alive?
I will not say yes or no to that.
Come on, just that.
I can't give that to you.
Just give me it, yes or no.
And I'll tell you, the second leader, like the second place guy, has 770. So huge drop off. And they both played at the same time. I'll give you that hint. They both played at the same time.
Fuck. Like, this is terrible. I actually have, like, literally no idea. I'm going to guess, like, Ben Gordon. I got nothing.
So Ben Gordon was the second place with 770. The first is Kirk Heinrich.
God.
That's why I couldn't give away the error, because I was like, you would guess Kirk Heinrich, Ben Gordon. Like,
no,
I wouldn't have guessed
Kirk Heinrich. I never.
Oh,
would.
Really?
Never. Ben Gordon. It was Ben Gordon or, like, Kyle Korver. And I was like, Kyle Korver didn't play long enough.
Yeah. So that's my first one. Do you want to do yours, or do you want me to give you my second?
Actually, yeah, you go. You finish it.
Kind of a two-parter, so I'll do the second part after you do yours. But how many players do the Bulls have in the Basketball Hall of Fame? Players.
So we got Artis Gilmore, Michael Jordan, Scottie. I mean, Gervin, if he counts.
Yeah, he counts.
Shoot. That's four. Rodman, five.
There's nine. There's nine. So I'll tell you that, but you have to guess the other two or the other couple.
Fuck. So then we're forgetting about that one guy. He, you know, I don't.
If you want to give up, you can tell me.
Yeah.
Because if you got it, I was going to be super impressed.
I don't got him.
The other guys include Robert Parrish, who played for us for like two seasons.
Yeah, man.
Nate Thurman, Chet Walker from like the 1960s, and Guy Rogers.
Guy Rogers. I should have fucking known. Yeah, that's my guy.
Then I have one to go off of that, actually, but I'll let you do yours.
Give me it.
How many FIBA Hall of Famers do the Bulls have?
Oh, well, they got Tony.
That's one.
Michael.
Two.
I mean, you're going to have to give me Scotty then.
Okay. Are there any more?
Yeah, there's got to be. No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say you got the answer wrong, because if you locked in at three, you were correct. But you said there got to be more.
All right.
I thought you were going to say Mirotić or something.
I thought about it. Mirotić was nasty in Spain. All right. So Mitch Trubisky's hometown is Mentor, Ohio.
Oh.
Which Iowa great is also from there?
Oh. Now, in what sport?
Football.
Can you give me position?
No.
Okay, so I actually have a name that comes to mind first, but I feel like it's wrong. So I don't know if I should give that one. Okay, so I'm going to say Niall Kinnick. That was the one I thought of. Is it a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not Chuck Long. He's from Illinois. Is it CJ?
Nope, it's Stanzi. No.
Stanzi. Dude, Stanzi was the other one. I was like, it can't be Stanzi, though.
Yeah, that's what I thought, dude.
I forgot about that because he told us a story about how he got to play for the Browns and they were his hometown team.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
Fuck Ricky, yeah. If you're listening, I'm so sorry I got that wrong.
So stay on top of the Iowa. Iowa has five players playing in this AFC championship game. What other Power 5 school has five players?
Oh, LSU.
Nice. Solid. Oh,
dude, I've been sending that stat solid to so many group chats of mine.
I just saw it.
Sending that around.
You told me, you were like, hey, you should probably get another trivia. That was my trivia. I just found it on Twitter. It was literally sitting right there for me. I was like, fuck it. Let's
roll. I thought about using that on you. And then I was just like, oh, he's going to know that because he's like on Twitter 24/7.
Yep. I would have known it.
That's a good one, though, but I'm up 2-0.
Yeah, I fucking suck. No, I got you a double wrong on the Mitch one, so I want a pity point for that.
0.5.
I'll take
half a point.
I'll take it.
2 to 0.5. I'll give you that. And so now tomorrow, Iowa basketball, playing another game. We blew out Northwestern. I love to see that. I mean, birthday win. I really couldn't complain for the both of us. Big 21 gift from Iowa basketball. What do you think it's going to be for, you know, what's it going to be like against Indiana for us, do you think? I mean, they're unranked right now, but it's Indiana.
So a lot of people,
one or two games a year.
A lot of people like that that fucking other big guy that they have, that Jackson Davis,
yeah,
whatever. Look, he ain't shit. Like, he ain't nothing. I don't care. I'm looking right now. I'm comparing them. They're like, I'm pretty sure it was Barstool, Indiana, was like, people are saying it's Kofi versus Luka. Nah, it's TJD against Luka. I'm like, dude, come on. Let's just take a brief look.
He averages 20 points a game.
He averages seven less points. Shoots 10% less, doesn't even shoot better at the line. And Luka, who people say is an unathletic big white guy who's a walking stilt, has the same rebounds as this athletic phenom and TJD, whatever the fuck he is. Look, yeah. I don't care. It ain't nothing. Iowa's got the best offense in the country for a reason. They're going to blow them out. It ain't going to matter. We're,
Iowa's ESPN beating them by 20. Winning by 85%. 85% likelihood
spread,
we win.
Spread's at 10.5. That says it all. If the over-under is at 152 and you're telling me it's 10.5, they're winning by 20. Like, this is
and
set.
It's at Carver.
It's set and done. They're winning by 20. I don't have anything else to say about this. This Indiana team's not that good. They're just double OT with Wisconsin, overrated team. Maryland, you only scored 63. We scored 89. Penn State, you went to OT with. Like, this team's just hanging around bad teams. With Nebraska, you beat by 8. Like, Nebraska has no business being in any games with any Big Ten team. It's over. No. I don't care.
Now,
they're
don't
done.
Get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love team wins. But my favorite thing to do is go to ESPN. Go to statistic leaders and just look at Luka Garza leading the nation in points per game. It's so beautiful. He's leading by like 4 points, basically. Yeah. It's just like so beautiful to see. And if you look at the other kids, I don't think any of them are on Power 5 teams.
No. Nope, not a single one. And people like to say that Luka likes to beat up on bad teams. Well,
yeah, it's just
– there you go, people. There you go.
What's beautiful too is now everybody's basically saying I was a lock for a one seed, and I'm just like, finally,
they're saying we're a lock. We're smelling the coffee. Great, I'm glad everyone decided to come around.
Yeah, but it's just like if Luka doesn't get National Player of the Year this year, I'm gonna go mental.
I think he will. I don't think there's any way. Period. I think there's enough PR that's been done that says he's got it in the bag. Yeah. I literally do. I think he's got it in the bag. Like, there's what does he do? Like, he's done what he did last year and then some. He proved that he can do it again. And last year he was arguably the best player in the year. And he didn't get, like, he wasn't born with 40-inch vertical like Obi. Okay? And he beats you in other ways. That's the way Luka goes. Period. That's it. So
full speed.
Yeah.
And before we close, real quick, one thing that we're going to start doing every week is picking a favorite food in a certain category from a specific place in Iowa City. And what the idea behind this is we'll eventually have a bracket of all the best meals, and then we'll be able to put them against each other, and then you guys can vote on social media and everything. So this week we're starting off with the Iowa City Classic burger. It could be chicken sandwich. It could be a burger. Anything in that burger category goes.
Whoa! You just called a burger. Chicken sandwich a burger?
Bison. Well, I'm saying
I have a problem with that.
Here's my thing here. If you look at a place like Shorts, they have a burger section and they have a whole chicken section. So that's why I'm counting it, because I don't want to hear people beefing
up,
with
Sam.
Me.
That just fucks me up. That fucks me up all sorts of different ways.
But I'm not saying like a fried chicken sandwich or something. I'm saying like grilled chicken sandwich made like a burger, like made to Fine. Like Shorts, like, you know. Yeah. So that goes being said, Jack, what is your go-to burger spot? What do you think is the go-to place?
All right, guys. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's called Shorts. It's literally awesome. Thanks for talking about it, Sam. Love Shorts.
Well, I'll go off that then. And you know what? A lot of people could back this up here too. The other two places, and the only reason why I'm not going to make this one mine is because it's literally owned by Shorts, which is Hudson's. I thought about going around you and just saying Hudson's because they're literally the same thing. They just call their stuff different. But I have to go with Iowa Chop House on the burger.
Chops nuts, dude. It goes crazy.
Yeah. So there we go. We got our votes in. We'll put those into the bracket, and hopefully once we get into February, March, we're going to have a little food bracket going for you guys.
Hold on. What kind of cheese do you get on your burger?
That depends.
You got to have a go-to.
So for me, the go-to always was American. That was my go-to always for the longest time. But I've become a cheddar guy.
The fuck kind of difference is that, dude? It's like the same thing.
No, it's not. It's two different cheeses.
Whatever. I have nothing for that. Like, you went from American to cheddar, and that's something.
It's different. It's different. I'm telling you, it's different. What's yours?
What do you think?
Are you a Swiss guy?
No, pepper jack.
Oh.
Duh. It's got my name in it. Obviously, I gotta like it.
Makes sense. Okay, Jack, you ready to close this thing out?
Yeah, and as always, guys, if you haven't, go ahead and download Good Pods. Go ahead and look Sam and I up. Follow us. Give us some recommendations. I need another podcast. I need it now. Please, can someone give me one? As always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later. How do you stop recording?